we have a mission lesson. And I got the new book here, and they really have a totally different approach. And I don't know what you're thinking of it or what you'll think of it after tonight, but I'm kind of liking it. In some ways, I don't know, in some ways I kind of miss sort of the more traditional missionary story. Sometimes it's just kind of neat to hear what's on the field. But at least the lesson that we did last time and then this one just kind of brings it home a little bit more, which I think is also kind of cool. And with glasses, I'll be able to see what it is. The scripture verse they give us is Ephesians 4:1, and it says, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Let me say that one again. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I want to start out with a story. As this just happened a couple days ago. Friday, maybe? And I've just been thinking about it ever since. It just really struck me. And it's not an unfamiliar story. You guys will all be able to relate to it. But it is so incredibly sad. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she got a new job. And I said, I haven't seen her in a while. And I said, "How's your new job going?" And she said, "Well, I don't like it." And she's such a sweet girl. And she said, "Oh, I'm not really supposed to say that." I said, "No, it's okay. You're allowed to say that." You know, I said, why don't you like it? And she said, "Well, my boss goes to my church. And he is one of these that his walk is not his talk. His Sunday is not his Monday through Saturday. You guys all know this kind of a person, you know? Goes to church, claims to be a Christian, and yet when she sees him on the job, it's a completely different person." Like I said, super, super familiar story. But then she said, and this is just what struck me. She said, "I go to church on Sunday," and she said, "I look at him," and she said, "I can see that he's speaking, but I can't hear him because I keep thinking about what he did this past week." And I thought about that. That just really struck me. I can see that he's speaking, but I can't hear him because I'm thinking about what he's done. It doesn't matter what we say so much if we can't be heard. This girl, she has just incredible wisdom. I like her. I admire her a lot. And she's very young, and I wonder what God has planned for her life, because it's going to be great things. But in her wisdom, you know, she just nailed this. And today we're talking about the call of Christ in our lives. We've all been called, and what are we doing with that call? And can people know about our call, or are we not walking the walk we should be walking? And is what we're saying and what we're professing just getting eliminated by what we're doing? So important, so important. Our walk needs to be the same as our talk, or nobody's going to hear us. So gonna look at some different aspects of the call, and throw in some stories and sort of mix it up and see what you think here. But this lesson kind of breaks it all down into a bunch of questions. So the first kind of question here is, who does God call? And one of the things that I think sometimes we tend to do is we point fingers. You know, it's easy to point fingers with judgment, you know, or criticism or whatever, but I think sometimes we do this with the call, too. You know, we think of this call as something big, and it's only for the impressive people, you know? God calls pastors, and God calls missionaries. Therefore, God calls people who are not afraid of snakes, you know? So, you know, he did that, you know. God calls doctors to go into medical missions. You know, God calls teachers. God calls, you know, the fittest, the finest, the most impressive. God calls the educated, you know, these people with these doctorate degrees that, you know, that the Ravi Zachariases of the world or whatever, you know. God calls the talented, you know, those people that can just handle these situations. And we point fingers, you know, and we say, God calls all of these people, you know. But in reality, God is calling us as well. Even if we don't see ourselves as the pastor or the missionary or you know, that the most educated or the most talented. If you look through the Gospels, this is very, very clear. Jesus is calling everyone. Everyone is called to make peace, to forgive, to love, to reach out, to be generous. All of these different things we are called as Christians to do. May your life be worthy of that calling. Everything that God is calling us to, that life, that Christian life. And he doesn't require anything vast or impressive, and we're going to see that as the lesson unfolds here. But he wants all of us to be involved in this calling that he's given us. And it's kind of neat. The next question is how does God call? Okay? He calls all of us. Who does he call? How does he call? He personalizes it. And this is what makes it great. You know, so you sit there and you finger point and you say, well, you know, God's calling all these other people because they have all these skills or these talents or these abilities, you know, or whatever. But God created you. And he knows what he created in you. And he knows how to use this wonderful creation. And so he personalizes his calling and his plan for you to fit what he made. It's so simple, and yet sometimes we make this all so complicated. You know, oh, God could never use me. Well, yes, he created you. He created you with a purpose and a plan. Of course he can use you. And there's no formula to follow to say, well, this is how you know it's God's calling. I mean, there's some generalities, and we'll look at those a little bit. But each one of us is completely different. We're a unique creation, known intimately by God, and he will call us according to that relationship. And so it's important for us to learn to recognize God's call in our life, and that takes practice. And it's even more important for us to sort of nurture a desire to say yes. We can hear God over and over and over and over, but nothing's going to happen until we say, oh, okay, that sounds good, you know, and go out and do it. This idea of saying yes to God is the beginning of the whole thing. God will sit there and ask and ask and ask, but he's not going to force us. We have to say, all right, I'm willing. Here I am. Use me. Neat story here. Anna was 5 years old when she asked Jesus into her heart. And a little while later, she's watching the Jesus film, and she felt God nudging her to volunteer in her church. This is amazing. By the time she was a high school senior, she had served in multiple roles of her church, her local church, and on her district. I just want to stop there and kind of get on my soapbox for a minute. I read this and I was just amazed. One of the things I've been thinking about working with our teenagers is this idea of empowering them. How can I get them not just coming to church, but being involved in the church? Because if we want them to stick around and stay and grow, we need to empower them. We need to involve them. And what can we do as a church to involve, not just our teenagers, but our young adults and anybody who walks through our doors? We need to involve people in the church. We need to empower people within the church. And that's when real growth will take place. We need to trust them with these responsibilities. What does that look like? What does that mean? How can we do that? I don't really have a lot of answers. couple things that I've thought of, and again, working with the teens, that, you know, we used to every other year do what was called hometown missions. And I would talk to Rachel, and she'd give me a list of people who needed different jobs done around their house, whatever. Really simple skills. I never realized just how unskilled a lot of teenage labor can be until I did some of these hometown missions. but anyway, the kids loved it. They want to help people. They want to give of themselves this way. But they don't know how to, you know, they need some kind of leadership. And the people that we served, usually, I think, appreciated. I always got good feedback back anyway. And even like the one person, we went to her house and we did some stuff, and her daughter came to me and said, "Thank you so much. She said, Mom has so many things that need to be done, and with us kids working in our own houses to maintain, we just don't have the time, you know, always to get into these things." And she said, I really appreciate your, you know, I mean, when you show up with 10 teenagers, you can get a lot done in a short period of time if you can keep them, you know, keep them moving. And I just keep thinking about this, and I think it would be so wonderful if somebody would be willing to pick up a leadership of this kind of a ministry, that it wouldn't just be a couple of teenagers every other year, but an ongoing, if somebody would organize this. And it doesn't even have to be somebody who is physically able to do the work, because there's a tremendous amount of work just in the organization of this. And like I said, I did it for hometown missions. I don't have the time, and I don't have the gift. We would go out and we'd look at the job, and we'd say, okay, this is what we need. This is how many people we need. This is the equipment. This is the tool. You know, whatever. This is the paint. I don't know. Whatever. I don't do that kind of stuff. You know, I just, you know, usually I'm like, yo, Lillian, take care of that. So just to have somebody who could get these jobs, organize it, you know, I think if we did that, we would have the volunteers who would come and help. And what a ministry this would be. And what a great use of our time and our talents and our skills that God has given us to serve one another in the church. That's just one idea. To mentor people, those of us who have roles in the church, to take somebody younger and bring them into our circle of responsibilities and say, okay, let me show you the ropes. Let me teach you so that when, you know, maybe someday I'll retire and you can pick up, or maybe you're going to move away, but you can do this in your own church, this mentoring, this relationship. There's a girl over in the teens, and I'm going to get her this year. I am so excited because I really want to mentor her. I think she has great potential, and I think she's been shot down for so many years. And I can't wait to get my hands on her. We usually talk about, you know, that there are the future leaders. No. You know, here's Anna, who all through high school is serving in multiple roles even. How can we empower the people in our church? I don't know. I don't have answers for this. And so I thought, this has just been something on my heart. So I'm throwing it out there. Please, run with it. Do something. And maybe it's not even in the church. You know, maybe it's just, you know, working with your neighbor. I don't know. But if we want to see God's kingdom grow, we need to take an active part in the growing of it. So anyway, that's my soapbox. We'll get back to Anna here as soon as I find my place. Okay, here we go. Senior year, she goes to a youth camp, and, you know, there's a speaker, and they have this missionary lesson, and the speaker says, you know, ask God if maybe he's calling you to be a missionary. And, of course, you know, Anna being the obedient kid, you know, she asks, and God says, yeah, I'm calling you to be a missionary. She's like, okay. But she had this conflict because her father owned a construction company, and it was her father's idea that she would go to college, be a civil engineer, take over the company, you know, good dad wants to pass on the heritage, you know. And so she just agonized in prayer. What am I going to do? I'm being called to be a missionary, but my dad is calling me to follow in his footsteps, to take over the family business. What can I do? And so she had a Bible teacher who gave her wonderful advice, and this teacher said, pointed out to her, you know, God knows your heart. God knows the plans he has for you. God will open the right doors at the right time. You don't have to agonize over this. You just lay it in his hands. He knows your father's wishes. He knows his calling. He'll take care of it. And so Anna went to school to become a civil engineer. And she, you know, obedient to her father, honoring her parents. And she waited. And she's doing her duty. And then it was time to start thinking seminary. And so she kind of went in and gave the, you know, showed the application to her dad and said, you know, I'd kind of like to apply. And he just smiled, said, I know. And the doors started opening. And in God's timing and in his way, he opened those doors for Anna's calling in her life. She actually worked on both a civil engineering degree and the seminary degree at the same time to try to please both. And today she's a missionary. Her and her husband serve in Panama. And so God opened those doors exactly the way he promised that he would. God has a plan for each of us. Next question, how do we confirm God's call? There's a book, The Christian Secret of Happy Life, of a Happy Life, by Hannah Whitall Smith, and she lays out kind of four things. We can confirm God's call in our lives through scripture, through providential circumstances, through the conviction of our higher judgment, and through the inward impressions of the Holy Spirit. And she also points out, you can't just rely on one of those. You got to have them all kind of come together. She calls it harmonization of all of them. So you can't just say, well, you know, I'm not sure, I'll look in the scriptures and ignore everything else, you know, or I'll just pray about it and ignore everything else. You got to bring it all together and wait for God to confirm this in your life. A guy by the name of Charles Davis, he was a third-generation Nazarene. And so, you know, being a third-generation Nazarene, very early in your life, you give your life to the Lord because, you know, that's what you do. And he went to Tribeca Nazarene University because, again, that's what you do. And he just kind of assumed that God was going to call him to be a minister because, you know, of course, what else? You know, had to be. And God had another call. And so God started putting people into Charles's life and showing him, again, opening those doors and saying, oh, check this out, you know? He had conversations with different people, especially some of his professors at the university there, and also one layman at his church was a great influence. And he kind of realized that when God calls you, you need to be obedient to God's calling. He says, pleasing mom and dad in the church back home, you know, you've got to let that go. That idea of that, you know, well, of course I have to, because I have to please mom and dad, and I, you know, I have to live up to the expectations of my church, and, you know, you got to balance that with God's call, and yeah, God's call's got to win. A professor kind of sparked his interest in law, and so he started taking different law classes, pursued a law degree, and graduated, became a rather successful lawyer, doing quite well, and a lot of people encouraged him to enter the city government with his law firm there, and he was rather surprised when he was actually elected as the county court judge. And he really felt that God had placed them in this position to dispense integrity within the justice system. I kind of was thinking about that. I thought, yeah, how much integrity is there in the justice system? We could always certainly use more. Most of those public servant positions could use more integrity. But our world in general could use more integrity. God is calling each of us to a life of integrity. Again, be worthy of that calling that you have been given, that life of integrity, no matter where you are in the world. He was a lawyer in some way, shape, or another for about 39 years. He was a circuit judge, when Governor Jeb Bush was governor in Florida, and he was appointed to the Second District Court of Appeals. Very successful in all that he did, showing God in what he did. He kind of says, you know, we think of being called as, you know, the pastor or the missionary. He said, I was called to be a layman in my church. And that's such an important calling. It requires just as much obedience, just as much preparation, just as much prayer, just as much of your spiritual life as any other calling that God could give you. So whether you're called to some churchy-type position or called to a layman-type position, one's not better than the other. They're both important in God's world. He said all through his life he prayed this prayer. And this prayer, this thing ought to be on every refrigerator. This is an amazing prayer. It says, give me the wisdom to understand your will, the faith to believe in your will, the courage to do your will, and the grace to accept your will. Let me read this again. Give me the wisdom to understand your will, the faith to believe in your will, the courage to do your will, and the grace to accept your will. What a prayer. If we lived our lives according to this prayer, day after day, God's kingdom would grow. All right, how do we answer God's call? the book here, it says, you know, think of God's call as an invitation. I had to laugh because this past week, I received an invitation to go to a Mary Kay party. Look at me. Do I look like Mary Kay material? I mean, maybe I look like the before picture. You know, maybe you're sitting there thinking, honey, you really need to go to a Mary Kay party. Ain't happening, okay? I did not go to Sid party. It's just not me, you know? And I was thinking about this. God's call is an invitation. All right, the Mary Kay invitation is not for me. But when God invites us, it is for us. You know, he knows us. He's not going to give us an invitation that is completely and totally opposite of what we are. He created us. You know, he's going to give us the perfect invitation for the perfect job that he has created just for you. It's going to be completely different than anybody else's invitation because he created each one of us differently, with different talents, different abilities. And so my invitation isn't going to look anything at all like your invitation. And you're probably saying, oh, thank the Lord. but we each get our own invitation. And each invitation has the potential to be life-changing. If we accept this invitation, and again, we should have that attitude of, yep, count me in. Check off the, you know, we'll accept on the invitation. God has an adventure laid out. And a lot of you, you know, you've been in the adventure for a while, and you can testify to the goodness of God and the places he's led you and the things he's done and the way he's used you. And that is awesome. And again, we need to pass that on to the younger people and say, you know, accept your invitation. This is an exciting ride. This is an adventure. Another quote here that they have, whatever you're good at, do it well for the glory of God and do it somewhere for the mission of God. I was thinking when I read that, whatever you're good at, do it well for the glory of God and somewhere for the mission of God. I was thinking of that. Was it Corrie Ten Boom who was in the prison camp and she was in charge, she was put like cleaning the latrines. And she said, I am going to clean the latrines for the glory of God. No matter what you are doing, where you're at, you know, do it for the glory of God. You know, I hope my friend that I started out with the story, you know, in this workplace where God is not being accurately shown and perceived, I hope that her light will shine and that her voice will be heard, because her actions will line up with God's call in her life. I think she's probably a great testimony to the people there of what a true Christian looks like. Wherever you're at, do whatever it is you're doing for the glory of God. A story about Erica. At 14, she dreamed that God was asking her to go. Go. That's kind of vague. She didn't know where. She didn't know when. She had no idea what this go was going to look like. But she knew she planned to say yes. I love that. You know? But she didn't. And I guess, you know, maybe being 14, you know. But she had no idea what the go involved. But she knew her answer was going to be, yep, I'm in. That's fantastic. I think we can all learn a lot from that. 7 years later, God reaffirmed his call and said, I haven't forgotten about you. I you know, we're working on it together. And so Erica said, okay. You know, I'm going to prepare myself. I don't know where I'm going, what I'll be doing, you know, so I'm going to take what I'm good at and prepare myself in that way. So she was good at math, and she had an interest in managing people, finances, that kind of stuff, projects. And so she went and got a degree in industrial engineering, graduated, and got a good job. And part of this job included traveling to Mexico. Huh, go. Mexico works. So while she was in Mexico, she connected with the Global Missions Mobilization Coordinator and got a 6-month assignment using her skills that she had been developing, especially her management skills, in what they were calling the Genesis Project. And this project was a project to plant churches throughout the Mesoamerica region. And she did a great job with this project. And so she was asked to take a full-time position as a missionary in the Dominican Republic as a project planner. And it was her job to just see what needed to be done and get her done. And she did great. Today, she's in Haiti, and she's continuing to work on different projects. Right now, she's working on a water project in Haiti. And she's developing timelines and budgets and baseline studies, and I have no idea what any of that stuff is, but apparently it's all very vital to this kind of thing. God said go. She said okay. She developed the skills that God gave her, having no idea what his plans were, but knowing, hey, if he gave me these skills, this must be, you know, a good thing. And when the time came to go, she was ready. Ready, willing, and able. And has been doing great things in the name of the Lord. All right. Now we get to, like, I was kind of thinking about this as I was preparing this. Now we get to the point that most of you fall under. it's great to do, you know, stories of these young people and planning their lives and all that stuff, but most of you are probably sitting there saying, yeah, I'm a little past that. as you read your Bible, please notice that there are no retirement stories. You don't find a hammock in the Bible, you know, under the shade trees on the beach, okay? Not that retirement, you know, from your job is a bad thing or anything, you know? But nobody retires from God's work until you get a new address, you know, and you're off to heaven. There's no retirement. So if you're sitting here thinking, nice lesson, doesn't apply to me, nope, wrong. I love this. God has a way of using seasoned, experienced, and well-grounded seniors. Does that make you feel a little better? Are you a seasoned, experienced, well-grounded senior? God can use you. He's got a plan, and you're still part of it. Another story, Bill and Teresa. They were pastors for 35 years. And during part of that 35 years, they raised up a daughter. She and her family became a missionary. They said goodbye, you know. She moved to another area of the world. And they, you know, after 35 years, they finally retired from this ministry. And they said, okay, next phase. Now what? And they felt that God was calling them to become missionaries themselves into some kind of mission work. And so today, they're in the South Asia field. And what's really cool is today, they're living not far from their daughter. So they, you know, they all went over into this world area, and God has just blessed their time because now they can be close to their daughter and her family and still be serving him and still working for the Lord. Jesus is very clear, makes it really simple. His plan is for us, go everywhere, tell everyone. Real simple, but big plan. Go everywhere and tell everyone. So wherever you are and whoever is around you, in some way, shape, or form, your life should be modeling Christ and telling them, whether it's with words or with actions, with body language, with, yeah, that song that you just can't get, you know, out of your head. Your life should be showing Christ in every aspect. And God is calling each one of us. He's gifted each one of us. There's something we should be doing for his kingdom, no matter where we are in our lives. And they, you know, they kind of have here, you know, there's the people that send cards. We get these cards, you know, and it's such a blessing. These people with these ministries that send the cards. You have no idea the lives that are touched. My mom and I were just talking about this. My mom, she's retired now, and she said, you know, a lot of the people she used to send the cards to, you know, have moved on, you know. And she said, I need to find younger people, you know, people who are still alive, because she said my sending card list has gotten a lot shorter. But they're such a blessing. And the people, you know, that send these cards, every once in a while somebody comes up to them and says, I really appreciated that card. We have no idea the power. If you're, you know, a little more modern, I'm in the card sender category. If I'm going to do something, it's card. But there are those younger people, you know, that do the emails, and they're the email senders, kind of like cards, you know. There's the people that are just crafty and can make things and bless other people with their creations. Again, not me. There's the carpenters. You know, there's the mechanics, there's the accountants. There are the people that are comfortable up front in front of people, and then there's the people that are, you know, much better behind the scenes. God has blessed each of us with a gift, each of us with a talent. How are we using it? I often think, Rachel has said about, you know, how so many people would just love to get a phone call. You know, I think, what if, you know, if you're not a card sender, could you be a phone caller? You know, could you pick up the phone? And just call and chat with somebody. Hey, thinking about you. Those phone calls could be vital. It doesn't take any great skills. You know, it's easy to sit down and say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that, and I'm certainly not gifted there. You know, well, God's not really calling me there. You know, I'm too old for that. You know, whatever. We can come up with all these excuses. How can you use your life to serve God? What can you do? If you love God, He has a purpose for your life. Follow it. Listen to him. He has something picked out just for you. Be listening and have that attitude of, yes, I will do that. So, any thoughts? Yep. Sometimes my teens, you know, they'll just, yep. Yeah, and don't spend your whole life waiting for the big thing and missing all the little things. Yeah, have you guys heard that? There's a song on WGRC, Dream Small. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, just don't wait for the big stuff. Just do the little stuff. It all piles up and does amazing things. Dream small. Yep. I've probably shared this before, but there was a lady, Mildred Kriebel, and she took me out to lunch. My mom was in the hospital. It wasn't good. I was in college. I mean, it was just a stressful time in my life. And she said, let's go out to lunch. And we just had a lovely lunch. And I don't remember what we talked about or where we went or what we did. But it was just one of those, I wasn't saved yet. And it was one of those moments when I realized Christ isn't the church. The church is the people. And here was this woman that stopped what she was doing to take me out for lunch so I could have an enjoyable couple moments of relaxing, you know? And I went back to her years and years later, and I said, Mildred, you know, do you remember doing this? I said, that just really impacted my life. And she said, I'm sorry, I don't. And I realized she doesn't remember it because it's just who she was. It wasn't a big deal to her. It was something she does that, you know? And so, you know, kind of like the card senders. Do you remember sending that specific card? No. You know, do you remember that specific phone call? Nope. You know, do you remember that time you shoveled my snow? Nope. You know, it's just who we are. Yeah, coming through. Anything else? Let's pray and then you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, go with us. Make us a blessing. May your light shine through our lives, through our words, just through every aspect of who we are. God, send us out into our lives, the lives that you have planned for us. Lord, open the doors and help us to say yes. Help us to see these opportunities. Help us to be worthy of the calling that you have called us to, Lord. I ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you so much.